Your God. If that's what God wants to do, pour out God's Spirit on all sorts of people, who am I to hinder God? So this is another Pentecost story from the New Testament, a time when the Holy Spirit shows up and challenges the church to change. This was such an important story in the life of the early church that they recorded it three times, almost verbatim. If you read those chapters, you might be tempted to skip ahead because they just keep repeating the same story. Cornelius tells the story, then Peter tells the story, then Peter tells the elders the story, then the elders talk about it amongst themselves. It happens over and over again. Now, often, when we hear this story about Peter's vision from heaven, we hear it preached and we think about it in terms of a jailbreak. It's kind of like a jailbreak. All kinds of crazy people are out there getting the Holy Spirit and getting free from the things that held them back. In our modern ears, these dietary restrictions that Peter followed, these distinctions between people that they observed, the insiders and the outsiders, it all seems so oppressive and so restrictive that when the Holy Spirit comes along to do this new thing, it seems like a jailbreak or some kind of liberation story. One of the reasons that this was such a powerful story in shaping the early church was that it describes quite correctly our basic human condition. That is, we're divided one from another. Isn't that right? We're divided one from another, separated by the little walls we erect, the little castle moats that we dig. The church has been particularly good at this, of course. The great sin of the Protestant church, of which we are a part, is this: disagree and divide. Disagree, decide who's wrong and who's right, and then divide up. Go into your little camps, into your little prison cells. You might remember that old story about a man who was stranded on a desert island for years, and finally one day a sailing ship came along, and the sailor came on shore to meet this man who had been a castaway. And he noticed those three huts built on the beach. Maybe you've heard it before. And he says, "Well, what are these huts that you've got built here?" And he says, "Well, that one there, that's my house." "Oh, very good," he says. "Now, what's this second hut you have here?" He says, "Well, that one there, that's my church." He says, "Well, very good, a pious individual." He said, "Now, what's this third hut over here?" He said, "Oh, I don't go to that church anymore." Yeah. There's little doubt that part of the gospel story is how we are freed from the prisons we find ourselves in. We are freed from the separations that divide us up, some of us in, some of us out. This is the prison break narrative, and it's a good one. It's Pentecostal. But I want to suggest to you today a second narrative, not so much counter, but contingent, continuing on this same path. The Pentecost story is not just about a jailbreak, but also a clam bake. Did you get that? Jailbreak and clam bake. You know about clam bakes, right? People get together out on the beach, and they spend a whole day doing this. They go and find a nice spot by the ocean and dig a big hole. And then in this big hole, they put burning coals. They light up some coals, fill in the hole. And then they get a bunch of clams. I don't know where they got them. They bring them in. They fill in the hole. So it's got a big hole with coals and clams and filled up with leaves and all sorts of things, buried with sand. But you know, the next thing that people at a clam bake do is not sit down by themselves and enjoy the clam bake all alone. Nobody does that. A clam bake is meant for inviting and including other people. You don't go to a barbecue and eat all by yourself. You bring friends over. You invite neighbors, folks who you would like to spend some time with. A clam bake is a time that is essentially a Pentecostal moment. It is a time when people are invited in an important way. So it's a clam bake. It's a feast. It's a cookout. This is not a time, you see, for anything goes, as if it was a jailbreak, but everyone comes. It's not a jailbreak, anything goes, run free and do what you want. It's a clam bake. Everyone comes. Everyone is invited. Now, Pentecost will always be best remembered for those tongues of fire and for the foreign languages that were spoken and heard and for the amazing things that were seen. But if you remember at the beginning of that old Acts chapter 2 story, this is what it says. After all that has happened, the amazing things, that day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home, and they ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their numbers those who were being saved. Day by day, God was adding to their number those on the Evite, those who were coming to the clam bake. That's the purpose of Pentecost. Not to set you free to go and run wild, but instead to bring you in to the center, our God in Christ. Pentecost was a sea change for the church. It was a church back then, like the church today, that did not like to change. And yet by the power of the Holy Spirit, they broke down those barriers, they broke bread together, and more people, day by day, came in to the clam bake, to the cookout, to the church that is empowered by the Holy Spirit. Now, in this story we're talking about today, Acts 11, is a similar situation. Pigs in the blanket, coming down from heaven. The Holy Spirit comes in as this unexpected and disruptive force, allowing everyone, even Roman centurions, to come in to a life with God. And this is how our story ends. This is how our passage ends today. You already heard it read. When they, the elders, the powers that be, heard this, heard what had happened, they praised God, saying, "Then God has given even to the Gentiles, even to the Presbyterians, even to the old, the young, the long-time members, the first-time visitors, people with pasts they'd rather not share, people with a future that is unknown, people who are different one from another, then God has given even to all of those people the word of life, the spirit that brings people to the clam bake." And so, friends, you are invited again this morning, this Pentecost morning, as you wear your red or are surrounded by it, to consider again God's grace and mercy toward you. Because as you come this morning, not as a stranger, but as an invited guest. We gather together not as people separated by walls of little prisons, but ones who are expected at the clam bake. And into this clam bake, this communion, this coming together of all peoples, comes the Spirit of the living God, the God who binds us together in one heart, one mind, one faith, even as we move forth to serve in a world as diverse as we are. So that is my message for you on this Pentecost Sunday. Not the jailbreak, as if anything goes, but the clam bake, as in everyone comes. And I hope you will. Amen.